Since the show began almost 2 years ago, A Change of Tune has highlighted some of the best up-and-coming artists out of these West Virginia hills, with podcasty chats ranging from False Pterodactyl to Roswell Kid, Good Wolf to teammate Scott Simons, and beyond. But those interviews have been a bit infrequent, and since West Virginia Day is coming up, not to mention A Change of Tune's second birthday, we thought we'd do something special. 30 days, 30 brand new West Virginia music interviews that range from Morgantown alt-rockers and Parkersburg singer-songwriters to West Virginia music venues and regional artist management and beyond, all of which contribute to this state's wild and wonderful music scene. And today we are chatting with Morgantown musician Brian Spragg, but he's more than just a musician. Rather than focusing on his own accomplishments, Brian has given back to the West Virginia music scene by producing and selling guitar pedals and effects through his company, Bookworm Effects. In addition to that, he teaches kids how to use those pedals and the basics of music through a Morgantown-based nonprofit called Pop Shop. Without a doubt, Brian is a non-traditional but very important part of our growing music scene. And that's why we're talking to him today. So do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and what you do for a living?
Yeah. I'm Brian Spragg. I live in Morgantown, West Virginia, and I started Bookworm Effects, guitar pedal maker. I think it was about I've been doing it for about 2.5 years, but then like last year I launched a Kickstarter, and that was successful, so that was kind of like the start. The actual real start of everything.
And are you from Morgantown originally, or from West Virginia originally?
Not originally. Originally from Martins Ferry, Ohio, which is right next to Wheeling, West Virginia. If you wanted to do anything in my hometown, you have to go to Wheeling, because there's absolutely nothing going on in Martins Ferry.
Well, you mean there's like nothing, like no music, no venues, no anything like that?
Pretty much, yeah, no music venues. Like every once in a while they would try to get something together, but it really wouldn't go well. Like I remember we had a Legion uptown where like people would go bowling and stuff and had a big space. We talked about possibly doing a show there, and the owner just was like against it, and he just said kids will bring drugs. It's just like, well, no, like the idea is if we have a music place they would come to this instead of turning to drugs or something. So like you're actually ruining it for everyone else. So, you know, stuff like that happens, just super dumb. Just people stuck in their ways. So
what? How did you get involved in music then in Ohio? Like, did you just have to do it yourself and kind of start your own thing, or did your parents help influence you?
I think it was around 1997 I started, like, noticing more about music, so I bought more CDs and stuff. Like, I'd just have random CDs or cassettes before that, but I never really like cared about music. It's just like if I heard it, I liked it or whatever. So I started getting into it more, and then that Christmas I got a guitar, and so I just learned how to play. I think around like when I was 17 or 18, I was in a band that was really bad. It was like a kind of a hardcore-ish band, but it was dumb. It was a bad band, but it like helped me. So like doing that kind of thing, and then been playing for, oh my gosh, that's crazy. I've been playing for 19 years. That sounds way too long.
You're old, man. You're like middle aged.
I'm old, and I should be a better guitar player. I'm not. For as long as I've been playing, that's crazy. Over half my life, that's ridiculous. But yeah, so then it was sort of like, after that, I went to like graduated high school and just went to like a semester at Ohio University Eastern. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do with anything. Right after that, I went to recording school in Ohio. It's a recording workshop in Chillicothe, Ohio. It's just like a school five or 6 weeks program. So I went there with my brother. As soon as I came out of that, I just got a job in my hometown and started buying recording gear and like learning about recording as I was doing it, and recording friends' bands. And from there, sort of met a lot of the people I would meet or like be around more in Morgantown. I met more people in Morgantown who were like into music, so it was easy to like come here and play music and record. Like that was the main idea for I moved here 9 years ago.
And when did you start becoming interested in getting into guitar effects and pedals?
I've really always been interested. Like that bad band I keep talking about, we always had a ton of pedals when we played.
Are you going to put a name to the band?
Yeah, might as well. 77 in October is, I don't know if there's anything online. You can probably find it. There was this guy, I can't remember where he's from, but he has a blog, and I just don't remember the exact name, but it's like Soft Rock Renegade. And so, you know, it has a bunch of like bands around the time that we were together, and I think our stuff is on there too. But if you're listening, don't listen to that, please, because it's I mean, I don't hate it. It's just like whatever is my first band, so I don't know.
You know, you can do better now, maybe.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, it's just it's kind of like cheesy hardcore and like. I don't know. It's definitely never like, it was never Steakhead or anything. We never, like, we always made fun of bands that were like, you know, dudes who were really, like, big and telling people to mosh. Like, we never did that. That was, you know, that's kind of dumb hardcore, I think. But I don't know how to explain it. So it was just not great. So.
We all go through that. You know, you have like those embarrassing moments. Like, you know, maybe my prom moment is your band moment where you're like, oh, God, do I really want to like, I just had the memory where I just kind of shook myself like, oh, this is horrible. Why am I thinking back on this? Yeah.
It's funny.
It happens to everyone. It's fine. You know, it's it's cool. But I'm glad. I was going to ask. He's like, hey, he keeps saying it's a really bad band. So maybe I shouldn't ask him the name for it because he doesn't want to like call them out. But
no, yeah, like I'm friends with all those guys still. So and they all. You know, say the same thing. Like, oh, yeah, I don't really like that band. You know, so it's not really. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's funny.
So the guitar pedals and effects, like you were always interested in them, but did you ever have experience in actually producing them?
No, not until 2.5 years ago. I think it was finally kind of sick of most overdrives and distortions I would buy. I would just like be disappointed and. And it's like, oh, I'm stuck with this pedal now because I just spent, you know, $200 on it. And so I just decided to kind of look into it and see. First, I just wanted to see kind of how they worked. But as you're learning more about, like, what's inside them, you're thinking, well, that's not that, like, complicated. It's just sort of depending on the features and everything. So, so it kind of just started with that and then. It snowballed. So then now I'm obsessed with it and I look at schematics all day and it's crazy.
It sounds like you're, I mean, the name of the company is Bookworm Effects and it sounds like you geek out as much over music as you do over books and literature.
Definitely, yeah.
Was there any other name that you had in mind for the new company you're making or was Bookworm just the first and the best one you could come up with?
I think that was, like, one of the first ones that actually stuck. I remember thinking I was going to put pedals into, like, candy tins at one point.
Mm.
I was, like, thinking about, like, I just thought it was kind of a dumb name, like, candy tin pedals. And I was like, you know what? Those are super flimsy, and I really don't want to do that. Like, I just think that's kind of lame. So it was, like, just I probably thought about that for, like, I don't know, 10 minutes. So, But, yeah, I was, like, thinking Bookworm, Bookmark. I think Bookworm just stuck. It's just, like, it's kind of catchy, and even though it's kind of corny. So.
I've always loved things that are just kind of, they merge two different interests together. Like, for someone like me, absolutely love literature. And I think that's how I kind of got obsessed with your work. Seeing it through Instagram is that, you know, I'm seeing the pedals you're making. And the designs for them are so cool. And they have little references to like Catcher in the Rye and Moby Dick and Slaughterhouse. And it's just really cool and geeky. And I just kind of like, you know, it's like, ooh, that's so cool. I want to see more of what he's making.
Yeah.
But can you, I mean, you're talking some about the pedals and what you've been able to make. But for the non-musicians listening to this right now, Can you talk a little bit about how the effects help color sound and why they make a difference?
Yeah. Another way to think of them is, like, you can play music all your life and never use a single pedal, but pedals or any kind of effects at all are just, like, different colors to paint with. So you can just change something, or, you know, it doesn't have to be a drastic change. It could be something really subtle, but something to give a song or some whole piece of music some sort of feeling to it. But I think that's the idea. It's like, just good to have the options, just different options for sound.
So how do people find out about you normally? Is it just word of mouth, or are they finding you through the internet, gigs?
At first, it was all friends, so then it was word of mouth of friends, and if they posted online, then other people would see it. Like, if they have a band, maybe they would post it, and so, like, the people that like their music would see it and get a hold of me. It's kind of where it's kind of started, but then, like, especially after the Kickstarter, more people would just, people will search Kickstarter almost every day for, like, new things, and there's always a group of people looking for new guitar pedals and stuff. So, kind of neat, just like, how'd you hear about this? And he's like, oh, I was just looking, you know, for guitar pedals on Kickstarter. I'm like, oh, that's cool, because there are actually a lot on there, so.
Can you name some of the bands that have purchased your pedals over the years, especially the West Virginia ones?
Yeah. Bishops, I think, you know, Tucker Riggleman,
mm-hmm.
right? He uses a couple different ones of mine. I don't think they were really a band when I sold a pedal to Hello June, Sarah Rudy. Sold a pedal to her. I don't know if she uses it live now, but sold it to her, like, right in the beginning of everything. Just recently, I sold one to Derek Shanholster in the band The World is a Beautiful Place.
Oh, yeah, The World is a Beautiful Place, and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a mouthful, but yeah, that's great.
Yeah. That just happened. Like, I think I just mailed that out early this week, Monday or something.
I'm wondering, with the bands and the artists, do they contact you first and ask you, hey, I'm really into this novel, this book, and your pedals. Can you specifically make me one that is catered to my literature taste? Or do they just find a pedal and they buy it from you the way it is?
At first, I was doing kind of just like, I had a few that were already named, but then I also had the option to do a custom one or two. And it was like, it was only because I had such like bad graphics on my first one. So I didn't care about those. And if someone wanted something like interesting put on the pedal, I would just do it. Cause the first ones, they're all like public domain images and they're all like, I don't know, they're just kind of dumb and they just didn't look great. So yeah, so people would contact me and say like, hey, can you make this? A guy in, I think, California, he wanted a pedal. It's just like a switcher box, but it's called Franny and Zoe, which I think is super cool. Another guy just recently got a pedal with, it's a Roald Dahl, like the Big Fuzzy Giant.
Oh, the BFG.
Yeah, so that's on a custom pedal. That's kind of how it started. Just like I wanted it. Kind of just get experience, and almost all of them are literary references. I think like one of the first custom ones I did was just to try it out was Alf from the TV show.
Yeah.
Which is obviously not a book at all, but that was just kind of funny to put it was also a bigger than normal pedal. Like it was gigantic and had Alf's almost his whole body giving a thumbs up.
Oh.
Yeah, it was so goofy, but yeah.
But what about comic books? Has that been brought up?
I have thought about that. I haven't looked into it too much, but actually there was a builder I saw online that had a bunch of comic book themed pedals. So it was like, oh, I probably shouldn't do that now. But maybe like a one-off or something in the future.
I guess I never really thought about it, but I guess everyone has their own little niche in terms of how they're marketing their product, and you don't want to start making something to kind of infringe on someone else's. So if they're doing comics, you probably should just stick to what you're doing since it's so original.
Yeah. I think that maker, I haven't seen those pedals on, like I was following on Instagram. I haven't seen them in a while, so I'm not sure if they were a limited run of 10 or something like that. I just remember seeing them going like, oh, that looks cool, but okay, I won't do comics, or, you know. But I mean, everyone always does like the really common comic characters. So like, even like looking into graphic novels and stuff, I think it's kind of neat.
Oh yeah.
So I think, what's the one I read recently? It was, something about the giant beard that was evil or something.
I don't know that one. I read some, but the giant beard that was evil.
I'm probably screwing up the title, but it was really neat. It was real, I'm running into my bookshelf now.
The ones I have on my bookshelf are like Kick-Ass, V for Vendetta, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. What else do I have? Watchmen.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sweet. I like that idea. Like if you did a V for Vendetta one and have like the mask cool. or something. Yeah, that'd be really sweet.
Yeah. I just found it. The book is called The Gigantic Beard That Was Evil, and it's by Stephen Collins. But it's a graphic novel, and it's really good.
The gigantic beard. I mean, there has to be, changing a little bit of subject, there has to be a pun you can make off of The Walking Dead, right? There has to be something.
There's got to be.
The peddling debt? No. You'll think of it. Get back to me. Because even though I don't play guitar or anything, that is something I would invest in because that's dorky and I love it.
Yeah. Sweet. That's cool.
But I guess what you have separated yourself from the pack of peddlers by collaborating with West Virginia artists, which is something that, you know, not a lot of people do. So like on one of the recent batches you've made, you collaborated with Deer Jerk and Hey Pete from Morgantown, Maiden WV's Brian Pickens from Morgantown as well, Folk Mass's Carrie Rose Roberts, a West Virginia-born tattoo artist Josh Mason, and Roswell Kid's Jordan Hudkins from Martinsburg. So how did you get these folks involved in the artwork process?
I like sent them messages pretty far in advance saying like, hey, I want to do this pedal and I'd like you to do the artwork for it. And I let them know that it was going to be a while. This is like probably almost like 8 months before I ever launched the Kickstarter. So it was like I needed to, you know, give everyone enough time. I didn't want to rush anyone with the designs and stuff. I just said like, here's the name of the pedal, and you can kind of like pretty much do whatever you want. And then, I mean, I'll just look at it and take, you know, I met Hey Peep or Sage. I met her before that. We had a mutual friend before I moved to Morgantown, so we knew each other through that. But everyone else I pretty much met coming into Morgantown. So
you had Slaughterhouse Five. Waterhouse Down, and what were the other ones that the West Virginia artists made for it?
Let's see, yeah, Slaughterhouse Five, To Kill a Mockingbird. One of them was just based on West Virginia author Brees. I think it's just you say DJ Pancake, Brees DJ Pancake.
Mm-hmm.
He had a short story called Trilobites, so one of my pedals is called the Pancake Trilobite, just because. I think there might be another pedal called a trilobite, so I didn't want to call it just that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, putting Pancake on front makes it more about, like, you know, him, the author. Then there is the brand-new Reaver pedal is called the Malticano. It's from a Haruki Murakami book called The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle.
Hmm.
Why am I blanking? Oh, yeah, Switter's Boost. That's the one Jordan designed. It's based off of, it's a really long title. It's a Tom Robbins book called Fierce Invalids Home from Hot Climates. All Tom Robbins books are crazy and ridiculous, and I love them. Let me think. Is that five there?
I think so,
and
yeah.
Then, six is White Whale, so that's Moby Dick.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Josh Mason who did the artwork for that one. And then there's Carrie who did the Big Wig. I think that's, is that all seven?
Yeah, I think so. I think you covered them all. Do you try to think of a book you'd like to name a pedal for and then make a pedal that kind of relates to the sound or the theme of the novel? Or do you just kind of put two of them together?
Kind of just put two of them together. I mean, the Big Wig kind of worked like that because the book's kind of dark. I just wanted to get like something kind of gnarly. Because it's a bass distortion fuzz, so it kind of gets like crazy sounding, and that book gets really crazy. I didn't really think, well, actually, yeah, the Switters boost, in the book, he gets cursed, the main character, Switters, and his feet can't touch the ground, and so he has to wear stilts, so, like, stilts in a way are a boost, you know? It's kind of dumb. Like, it's kind of a reach.
No, but I love that. That's cute. You obviously put a lot of thought into this, Brian. That's really cool.
Thanks. Yeah. I try.
I love those little puns and things and wordplay. But I mean, like I said, you put so much effort into these pedals, you know, making them look cool, getting the collaborations up with local artists, and obviously making them sound cool. Do you think that makes a difference in having something that looks cool to play and is equally as cool to listen to?
Yeah, I think so. And that was the first thing. It's like I wanted to make sure they sound good and, you know, spend all that time working on the circuits and just making sure they're something that people would want to use, you know? But then, like, to go with it is having all my friends design each pedal, because I can't design worth crap. So I didn't want to do that. They just would have been like, still sounding good, but don't look as good. So they're not going to catch much attention, I'd say. So if they didn't have awesome artists doing their graphics.
Can you tell us a little bit about your first pedal that you made? Like, what was that process like and how did it turn out?
Yeah, the first one was real basic. It was just like, I kept it really simple, just one knob of volume control. And it was the very first Billy Pilgrim Overdrive. It didn't take too long to do. It's based off of an old design. There was a guitar effect called the Electra Distortion that was based in... Well, there were these guitars in, I think, the 60s called Electra guitars, and they had a bunch of effects built into them, and the Electra distortion was, like, built into a switch on the guitar itself. So that's, like, it's based off of that. It's not exactly it, but it was a good stepping stone, like, learning about that and, like, then going from there, because it's a pretty, like, basic overdrive circuit that responds really well to playing. I'm surprised, like, there's a ton of big boutique pedal companies that have effects based off of that. I'm just like, oh, wow, now it makes sense. And when I look at the schematic and stuff, I can see how they base it around that. It's really cool.
Would you say that first Billy Pilgrim was your favorite pedal, or do you have another favorite in mind?
I think my favorite's honestly the Atticus Finch. Like, I've always wanted to build a pedal that was an overdrive that didn't really, like, color my sound at all, or colored it in a good way, not a bad way. The term is overused in the pedal industry, but transparent overdrive, which means your guitar should sound the same pretty much going through the pedal when it hits the amp. So that's like the idea of that pedal. That's why I like it so much, is that it doesn't change your sound too much. It's just like enough for a difference. But yeah, that term transparent is kind of, no one likes that word really. And it's kind of weird. But
and now the Atticus Finch overdrive is the one that Tucker Riggleman from Bishops uses, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is the first version of it, where it's kind of like a, I don't know why I ever thought to do like this dark greenish brown color. I was like, that's not really a good pedal color, but it was just kind of, but yeah, the new one is the like orange with black print on it.
What's a pedal that you hope to make in the future that sounds a certain way or maybe uses a certain literary reference?
Well, I've been talking about, or I pretty much have a tremolo ready to be made. I'm terrible at, like, figuring out a name for it, because I was thinking about something that go along with tremolo. There's a J.D. Salinger's story called The Laughing Man. So, like, laughing and tremolo has that effect where, like, the sound cuts out, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
On and off kind of thing. So it might be cool, but the thing about The Laughing Man is based on a short story, and I love the story, but it's really hard to get, like, an idea of what the pedal could look like. I can't, like, there's not that much of a description of the character of The Laughing Man, and if I base it off of what's in there, it's like not a very good looking image in my head. So I don't know if I want to do that. But I just released the reverb pedal, so I think I'll probably wait like a month or two before I finalize stuff about the tremolo.
Is there another West Virginia-ish artist that you have on the radar that you might want to approach for doing the tremolo or another pedal?
Gosh. I mean, I honestly have like, I have maybe 5 to 10 who are all like, I want to design a pedal. I'm like, that's great. I just need to figure out more pedals first.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you know Dylan Ballier, who's he also plays in The World Is, and he does a solo thing called Spirit Night.
No.
He does really cool drawings, illustrations, and he expressed interest in, I want him to design a pedal. I'm just not sure what yet. Oh, also in Charleston, Dan Davis from Kinship
Goods. Of course, yeah, he's great.
Yeah, I think I need to talk to him again because I think we were like talking about doing like a limited run of something. So I have to get a hold of him soon.
Yeah, him, his girlfriend Hillary, and also they have a partner now called Base Camp Printing, Emily Sokolowski. And so when they're moving into their new joint over on the west side in Charleston, I mean anyone there, Base Camp, Kinship, they would be awesome people to collaborate with on this.
Dan helped when I did the Kickstarter. He printed the first run of shirts for me.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't print other people's shirts, so it was really nice of him. So.
Oh, that's so sweet. They're great. We've worked with them, West Virginia Public Broadcasting. The designs are great. Really nice people, and them doing an independent, different kind of business in West Virginia. It's definitely kickstart some ideas as to how the community can continue to grow.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of great stuff. Well, what about the music scene here in West Virginia? I mean, you've played here some. You obviously work here. You give things or you sell things for the artists in West Virginia. What have you noticed with the maybe perhaps the just the Morgantown scene and how it's grown?
There are a ton of awesome bands and performers from West Virginia. I'm like happy to share the state or even the city, Morgantown, with a bunch of them. It's great. It's such a huge, weird music culture that like no one really knows about. I mean, more people are finding out about it, of course, but it's cool. I really like how vast it is. You know, it's real big and tons of different genres and things. So it's never like, you know, it's not like West Virginia does one thing well and not other things good, but it's like everything is like has something really good. So,
do you have a favorite artist or band in mind right now that you'd like to recommend others check out?
I love Russell Kidd like way too much. They're just, Jordan's just like, I mean, you've met him.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. The band's great.
Goofiest dude on earth. And he's like one of the only people I know who can like talk to an audience. And he can say whatever he wants and everyone's always interested or laughing. You know, you'll see some bands and like they'll make jokes and stuff, but like no one cares.
Yeah.
But Jordan in Morgantown, maybe he's done this before, but in Morgantown, I think it was either around Halloween or it was about Halloween. He talked about a short story. He was like, yeah, I'm writing a short story about a haunted printer. And people were just like, tell us about it. And he's like, oh, okay. And so he spent like, no joke, 5 to 7 minutes explaining this story to everyone. At 1-2-3, no one is like saying, shut up and play music. Everyone's like interested or laughing at the story. It was like a stand-up comedy routine. It was really hilarious and great. But like, I think he's the only one I know that can do that. So
he is just, the last time I spoke with him for an interview, it was about a year or so ago. I think they're out in like Salt Lake City or somewhere on the West Coast. And a homeless guy just came up to him and asked him for like a sandwich that he was eating. It's just random shit. And like hearing him interact with this homeless man while I'm interviewing him for my show And he has the best personality. Like, his personality is just, it's great. It's charming. And I could definitely see people just eating him up wherever he goes. And they go everywhere. I mean, I think they're in Europe right now touring. They're always touring, it seems like.
Always,
so
yeah.
I'm so happy for them and what they've done. They're just cool groups, cool peeps. But so if looking back on your work and your performances and everything, what has been the highlight of your music-related journey? Obviously, it's not your band, your first band, 77 in October. So besides that, what else has been the highlight?
I just love being a part of it. If I know, like, one person is liking a pedal I made or something, like, I'm really happy about that. Even if they're just, like, playing alone or, you know, they could be touring or something, that's great. But, like, even if they just like it themselves, knowing that what I'm making people are liking and using, I guess, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, well, it's validation. It's showing that you're making something, you're putting so much work and time and thought into it, and you hope people like it, and you hope people use them, and then they do, and then you feel validated that you actually made something that is of use and makes people sound better and look better and maybe get some more money in their pocket at the end of the night.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well, if you had to boil down what your what, you know, Bookworm Effects is, how it's different from all the other bajillion pedals out there, what would you say?
I would say no, I'm not the only one that's just like a one person operation, because there's actually a lot of those.
But you are a one person operation. Let's just clarify, you are.
Yeah,
beyond the collaborations you do with artists, like, you really are the one man and doing everything.
Yeah, yep, I build them all myself. And well, I think, like, not a lot of other pedal companies try to do collaborations. So, like, or I should say, like, with the design and stuff. And so I think that's what kind of makes me different, is that working with the other West Virginia artists in the community and, like, really trying to, like, showcase the art community within West Virginia, like, as a whole, not just, like, I made this pedal, you should play it. It's like, I made this pedal, but a friend of mine did really beautiful artwork. You know, it looks good, so you should have it, and then tell people about their design and that kind of stuff. I don't know. I'm so bad at this. I'm sorry.
No, you had said, that was such a great idea, bro. That don't say it wasn't, because I absolutely agree. I think that definitely, that's one of the hallmarks of what you do, is that you are opening it up. You're showcasing not just a sound, but the wider arts community. So I absolutely agree. So is there anything about Bookworm Effects or what you do that I didn't ask about that I should have? Is there something you'd like to mention?
Oh, in the music program that I teach at in Morgantown, called Pop Shop WV, we just starting last summer, we had classes on where you could build. First, you'd learn about what goes into a guitar pedal, and then also you build your own and take it home. And so that was like it's like a 4-week class. So we have that every session. So every like couple months, we'll have one of those classes. I actually wouldn't have gotten into learning about pedals and making them if it weren't for Pop Shop and Chris Russell, who started Pop Shop. I notice sometimes when we are teaching the kids and they're playing, they won't notice a difference if there's like distortion or not distortion on. And there's like, you don't notice that? And they're like, no. And like, I kind of want to teach a pedal class and just like teach them, you know, what effects are and how they work and how to use them in a certain manner. And so as I was looking into them, I was like, oh, wow, this is all that goes into it. Well, now I'll start learning about building them. And then, so eventually that turned into that obsession I talked about. and so with that, Pop Shop is just, it's, man, that is so much fun. Kids or even adults are getting together and they're just learning to play as a band. And so learning how to work as a team, it sounds cheesy, but like working together, it's super important in a band. You can't just like, you can't just have four people all doing their own thing. You have to understand like tempo set by the drummer, and then you have to follow a vocal cue for the space to do this one thing or whatever, you know, tiny little things. And it's like, that's super rewarding. So it's real fun.
Have you seen any of your students go on to, you know, be in bands in the Morgantown area?
Most of my students are pretty young still. Like, there's some that are just graduating high school.
Aww.
Like, this May. So, yeah, hopefully they're going to, like, start or join some really awesome bands and be playing around in Morgantown a lot. There's a few that get to play maybe, like, cover band shows and stuff, and they're really good. But, yeah, I can't wait to see, like, they already have really good interest in music and just, like, what their bands are capable of. It's going to be really awesome.
Oh, you're helping make the next generation of cool musicians, Brian. That's really sweet.
It's a lot of fun.
And they're going to make so much money, and then they're going to be like, yeah, you know, Brian's Bragg helped me along my way.
They're like, some weird guy with a beard taught us. Yeah.
And I guess the final question, do you think the new clones sound as good as the old ones?
No, I don't.
All right, I think that's it. that's where we're going to end the interview.
How do you know about clones?
One of my guy friends here who works at I work with Mountain Stage, and one of my guy friends is huge into selling, buying, restoring, playing, all that. And so when I ask him for ideas of things I could ask you beyond like the normal, like, what's it like living in Morgantown? He said, okay, do you want something that would like make him chuckle? I'm like, yeah, definitely. He's like, all right, ask him, does he think the new clones sound as good as the old ones? I'm like, okay, I'll ask him.
That's so funny, yeah.
See, he was right. It did make you laugh, so that was perfect.
Yeah.
Brian Sprague is the founder of Bookworm Effects, a West Virginia-based company that produces guitar pedals and effects for musicians around the world. You can check out the gear he makes on facebook.com/bookwormeffects. And while you're at it, go ahead and give A Change of Tune a rating and review on our Facebook so others can discover this chat. We're at A Change of Tune. Hear more hashtag WV music on A Change of Tune, airing Saturday nights at 10 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And for more West Virginia music chats, make sure to go to wvpublic.org/wvmusic. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.